discusses measuring land, who knows, infamous river forest. We discuss building city gates, who's responsible to be part of these projects, aiding in a blocked water flow, if only for the people who it's affecting. Then we discuss the halachas of bar mitzvah. What happens if someone buys property that's next door to someone else's property, and the various exceptions when you are allowed to buy or sell that property next door. We begin with Rav Yehuda telling Rav Ado. Rav Ado was a measurer, used to measure land, and he said, be very, very careful with your measuring rope, with your measuring tape, because every little bit of land, you could grow some beautiful, beautifully scented saffron on it, and that gives each bit of land value. Rav Yehuda tells Rav Ado, the measurer, also, that the four amas next to an aqueduct, an irrigating ditch through the land, doesn't need to be exactly four amas on either side, but on a riverbank, you don't have to measure it at all. There's a Rav Yehuda L'Shitasa who says, at the property, the land right at the edge of the riverbed, is property of everyone. That's for Kuli Alma. Now, Rav Ami used to make an announcement that you should cut down the trees. You're allowed to cut down the trees on the riverbed so that the people who would schlep the rafts down and upstream, they're walking along the coast. You could cut down those trees so that there's room for them to be walking and carry the shipments through the river. Rav Nelson cut down 16 amas. They're very upset at him. So the Bnei Mashrunya came and they hit him. See, he made a mistake. Rav Nosson thought that you have to cut away 16 amas so that there's a rishus harabim space on either side. But the truth is, you just need enough for those people to carry the ropes on their shoulders to schlep the rafts. So they were it seems like they were right for getting upset. Rabbi Barav Huna, he had a forest right next to the river. They told him, okay, so you got to cut down the trees so that the rafts can walk up and down. He said, wait, I'm not going to cut down mine if the people below and before me along the river coast don't cut down theirs. The Gemara says, one second. He's a Kodol Adar. Shouldn't he be the trailblazer? Shouldn't he be leading the way? The Pasuk says, Hiskoshishu v'koshu, and Ishlakar says, we should work on yourself before working on others. Moser Haskil, the deepest of the deep. But the Gemara explains over here, the property before and after him were governmental properties. So no one's convincing them to cut down their trees. And if their trees are there on either side, then the rafts aren't going to be schlepping through his property anyways. So there's no point in him cutting it down. He's not trailblazing for the government. If they cut it down, then there's a purpose for him cutting down his own trees. Then the rafts will be able to transport by. Now, Rabbi Bar Ben Nachman, he was once going in a boat past this forest. He said, whose forest is that? He said, oh, it's Rabbi Bar Avunah. He said, he's not making space for the raft schleppers. And he quoted the Pasuk, V'yara asorim v'asganim hoysu b'mal hazeh rishoyna, that the leaders were the first ones to go sour in Ezra. He then commanded to cut down the forest. The Taka did. Rabbi Rahuna, he finds his forest chopped down, and he says, well, whoever chopped down my forest should have their forest chopped down. He meant literally the branches of that guy's forest, but the words of Talmid Chachamim are incredibly powerful, and all of Rabbi Barahuna's life from then on, he was never able to have children. As long as Rabbi Barahuna was alive, Rabbi Rav Nachman, who chopped down his forest, wasn't able to have children. Or Mekayim. Rav Yehuda tells us that when it comes to building the city gates, everyone, even Yisayimim, have to partake. The only exception are the Rabbonon, because they don't need protection. The Torah protects them. But when it comes to digging wells, even the Rabbonon need water. But even there, the Rabbonon have to partake in sending people to go dig the wells. They don't have to actually dig it themselves. And Rav Yehuda says that if there's a dam, a blockage in the stream, in the river, so everyone at the bottom of the river needs to help. Anyone who's being affected has to help those above. The people who are above the blockage, they don't need to help. It's not their issue. If they do, but it's not the chiyuv. So it ends up being whoever's at the bottom of the river is always going to be helping with whatever blockage happens so that the water can reach them. The same would apply if there are five fields that are getting irrigated from a single gutter. Over here, it's the opposite. Everyone needs to help the bottom one. The top one is the one that's always going to be helping. Over here, the water flows down to up. Shmuel says, if someone were to build his house on a riverbed, it's mamash a chutzpah. The riverbed is an area that's left for everyone so that the big boats can come in and disembark their cargo. This guy's putting his house there. The man said it's a chutzpah, but we can't take it away from him. However, now the Persians made this rule that if you have riverside property, you own up to where your horses can keep their necks out of the water, into the water. So if a guy then leaves over from his water property that the Persians gave him and says, you know what, I'm going to leave this space for the incoming boats. Then if someone builds on that, that's his property that you could talk and kick him out. Rabbi Yehuda Marav says that if someone were to buy property between two brothers or between two shutfim, so the brothers and shutfim, they never thought that anyone would buy that property between them because like it's like mid their property. It's a massive chutzpah. But Rabbi Yehuda Marav says that you can't take it away from him. Nachman, however, disagrees. He says you can kick them out. However, if it's only a din in Bar Matzra, the chiyuv of selling your property to the adjoining property, the neighbor, there you wouldn't be able to kick him out. Now, Ardoi says, even midin Bar Matzra, if you violated Bar Matzra and sold it to someone else, you could kick him out. Pasuk says, v'sisa yoshua tebein ha'ashem. Now the Gemara says if a potential buyer comes and he says, hey, can I buy this property right next door? And he says, yeah, go for it. Does he have to make a kinyan? Or does he already have a claim on it? Even though there are neighbors which would have the Torah's claim of Bar Matzra. So Ravina says he doesn't need to make a kinyan. Ardoi says he does. The halacha is that he does. And that being said, once we say that he has to make a kinyan, if he didn't, then the neighbor is able to buy it off of him against his will. Because he never made a kinyan, and the neighbor has the Torah's right of buying this neighboring property. If the field goes for $200 and he sells it to this buyer for $100, so it depends. If this owner would have sold it to anybody for $100, then the neighbor who gets to kick out the buyer buys it off of him for $100. However, if the guy gave this guy a special deal because it was him, then the neighbor has to buy it off of him for the full $200 value. If it was the opposite, it's worth $100, and he overcharged this buyer and charged him $200. So even though you might think that the meitzar, the next to the neighbor, could tell the buyer, hey, look, you're basically my shliach buying it for me, and you shouldn't have been so overcharged. That's your problem. I'm only going to give you the 100 that it's worth. But my kashisha b'rei the Rav Chisda tells Rav Ashi that we heard from Nardoi in the name of Rav Nachman that there is no oino on karkois. The guy bought it for 200, and that's what it's going for. So if the next door neighbor still wants it, he would have to pay the buyer the $200 that he paid for this neighboring property. Now the Gemara says if someone buys the center property amidst surrounding fields, right? This guy owns this huge field and he buys a little window property and smack in the middle. So you see, if that property in the middle was really good or really bad, so either it's a very special property or it's so bad he just wanted to get rid of it, so that's a valid sale. But if it's a regular property like everyone else, then pashtus, this guy just bought the middle property as a shtick to become a neighbor so that now he could buy all the surrounding fields halachically as the neighbor. But we don't let him get away with that. Now the Gemara lists a whole bunch of exceptions. I have listed here 15 exceptions. We'll see how it's broken up. Number one. If the guy gave away the field as a matono, then there is no bar matzva. The neighbor doesn't have a claim. I wanted to give it to this guy, not to my neighbor. But Amimer says if they wrote a chrayas, there's insurance on this property, then clearly it's not actually matono, and that was just a haroma, just a shtick. It's actually a seal. Second, if he sold the property to a person with all the rest of his property, also no bar matzva. If he sells it to the original owners, that's not a sale. That's just giving it back to the original owners. No bar matzra. If he sold it to a goy, or if he sells it or buys it from a goy, also no bar matzra. Why? Well, if he buys it from a goy, He could tell the neighbor, look, do me a favor. I just got your Goyish neighbors away from you. I just saved you from a lion. I get a thank you, not Taina's a bar matzra. He gets to keep that property because I got the goyim out of the neighborhood. To sell it to a goy, so that's definitely not... There's no Vesisa Yoshev HaToiv with a goy, but we still put him in chayrim until this guy accepts any responsibility for damages or oinsin that would come about from introducing goyim to the neighborhood. Once the guy moves in, also no bar matzra, like Rashi says. And now once he moves in, if it was given to him as a mashkoin doesn't have a din of bar matzra, because the lashon of mashkoin, we heard from the sabi of Masa Mechasya, means dishchuno gabe. It's resting by him. He has rights gabe the mashkoin to this property, which bar matzra cannot overrule. The nafkamina is gabe bar matzra. The mashkoin takes over. Verse 6 or 7. If the guy is only selling his property out of pressure because he wants to flip it, I want to buy a property that's closer or one that's nicer. So again, no bar matzra, I don't have to sell to my neighbor. If he's just doing it to be able to pay off taxes or to feed his wife and daughter or to bury someone, also no bar matzra, he doesn't have to wait for the neighbors if he has a buyer right here. Ardoi says that you could sell nechse yisoymim or mezoinus or kvura. And you don't even have to put it up for bid to get the best deal as long as you sell it. Number 9, if a woman or a yosem bought this neighboring property, you can't kick them out. That's not nice to make them go and try to find another property. Number 9, if two shutzfim bought this property, they're considered bar mitzvah to each other. Even if they're not neighboring in the same property, they would sell it to each other and you can't kick them out. And a different Rashi says, now we start talking about just stam, who gets kadima. But if you have two people you could sell it to, someone from the city or someone, a neighbor in the city or a neighbor by your field, the neighbor in the city comes first, not right next door. If you have a neighbor or a tamachochem, the tamachochem gets kadima. A relative or a tamachochem, the tamachochem gets kadima. What about a neighbor and a relative? So the pasuk says, "Toiv shochein karoiv me'ach rochik." The neighbor gets kedima. Now the 10th heter for a bar matzra is if the buyer is offering 10 good coins and the neighbor is offering ruined ones. I love dafka 10. Whatever, he's paying with better money, easier to spend money. Then there's no bar matzra. You could give it to the buyer. He's offering you a better deal. The seller doesn't have to lose out by giving it to the neighbor. Whole thing is Yashir V'atoiv, you shouldn't be hurting the seller either. Both exception, I count this a little off, I think I missed one in the beginning. If one bundle of, if the buyer is giving you loose money, and the neighbor is giving you tied up money, loose money is better, you could see it, so you could give it to the one, the buyer who's offering you the loose money. Number 13, the neighbor says, I'm going to go try to pull the money together. You don't have to wait for him. But if he says, I'm going to go bring the money, so he has it, just has to go get it. So there you see, if he's the type of guy that's punctual, he's actually going to go get it. Then you have to tack and wait for him. You don't have to give it to the buyer. You can't give it to the buyer. You have to wait, give it to the neighbor. But if he's not reliable in that sense, you can still sell it to someone else. Now, the Gemara tells us if there's land with a house on there owned by somebody else. So land has one owner and the house has another owner. The land owner can tell the house guy, you can't sell your house. Sell it to me if you're going to sell it. I don't want some random guy living on my property. But the house guy can't prevent the land owner to sell his land to someone else. If one guy owns the land, another guy owns the trees on the land. So the landowner could prevent the tree guy from selling his tree to someone else. But the tree guy can't prevent the land guy, same as the house. If there are two people that he could sell the field to, one of them is going to build a house, one of them is going to plant, the yishuv comes first. Sell it to the guy who's going to build a house. And there's no issue of bar matzra if the guy who's moving in is going to build a house instead of plant it. And the Gemara says if there is a border between your field and the neighbor's field, and it's very rocky, or there are trees lining it. So it depends on what the border is. It might be enough to make this guy not a bar matzra if you can plowed that entire row in one plow shot, and he still counts as a neighbor. But if you can't, then there's already considered a divide between our two properties, and you don't have rights to buy my property first. Gemara finishes, if there are four people on either side in every direction of your property, so whichever one comes first, he gets the rights. And if they all come simultaneously, like Rashi draws us a nice little picture, you divide it amongst them all, and they each get a triangle going from their side of the property into the center, a four-way pizza pie. I wonder if this would work in every shape, if you have an octagon and eight neighbors. They all came simultaneously. Pashtos, they would all get a little angle from their side to the center. Thank you for learning with me. Have a wonderful day.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.